Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, this is Liz Candace.
This is Nikki Collin.
What up guys, it's Essie Sparks.
Hey, this is Imani Miggy Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
WNBA Nation. Hello and welcome to another episode of the show. I'm Steve Schwartzman, flanked by Freeport, Florida's own Logan Jones. How are you, Logan?
Yes, I'm a Floridian. I'm like a fraction of the way to being scuba certified these days. So
what are you? Have you been doing scuba classes then?
Yeah. I've got an in-law with equipment, and I'm down here in Florida enjoying some summer sun before retreating back to my cave in Utah for my skin to recover. So
I loved doing scuba like sort of stuff. I did it here in Utah, actually, surprisingly. Not even in California.
It's awesome. But it's great.
It's a lot of fun. And you get to do it and then go do it in the ocean, which I've done scuba in California since being certified, but like it's a lot of fun. And you're probably a better swimmer than I am, so you probably have even more fun than I do.
I'm almost certainly not.
The weirdest thing, I don't know, did you have the experience of like the hardest thing to do when you start is actually allowing yourself to breathe? Because your brain is like, you're underwater, you can't breathe.
This is such a weird tangent, but the first time I went under with the respirator, I wasn't wearing goggles, so I didn't have my nose covered. Ooh. And so I was like, okay, out through the mouth, in through the mouth. And I did it correctly once or twice. And then I just inhaled a whole lung full of water through my nose. And I was like, oh, that's not it.
It's one of the few cases where mouth breathing is okay. So you got to take advantage where you can. But we've got some incoming news at the time that we record this. So and some other interesting tidbits for the league to hit. But Logan, if you don't mind, before we jump into that, you want to head over to the plug desk here at the fancy WNBA Nation studios, let everyone know where they can find us and what pots we got stirring.
Well, I'll start off with your cheat sheet. If you go to WNBANation.com, you can find all of the other plugs there. You can find the store link. I think we've got the Twitch stream link. I know we've at some point, I'm assuming we have our socials linked, so that's at WNBNationPod if you want to follow on Twitter. All of our content, if you're listening to the pod and you've been listening for a while, I'm sure you've already figured out how to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, you want to jump in the Twitch stream and ask questions as we're doing today, if you want to sport some fancy merch that Jason and Steve have been working on, I still need to put in my order. So that I don't show up on stream every day with my band concert t-shirts. I need to be more brand conscious when we're on stream. But those are the places you can find all of us. In particular, make sure you're following us on Twitter, because we will be tweeting out the times of our recordings and our watch parties. We've been doing weekly watch parties via playback, which has been freaking awesome. You get to be even more a part of the conversation there. You can join us kind of on a virtual stage. And I know the one of those that I've been able to be a part of personally, super fun to get to know you guys kind of on a more personal level and have you guys ask us questions directly while we're watching the game. So I don't know if we have one planned in the near future, but I'm sure within the next week we will have another, and we will let you know via Twitter kind of when that's going to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we are. Walla, 15, welcome to the chat, to the stream. But yes, you can, of course, find the show anywhere that your pods can be found. And we're live here on Twitch for most all of our recordings. And we love our Twitch fam. If you haven't had a chance to jump on, definitely stay connected on Twitter. A lot of good stuff happening. WMANation.com is your overall hub. Ahead, definitely take some time onto the blog. We are every now and again dropping some written material here and there. Most first and foremost is our weekly power rankings. We from our host material and also our W Power Index, which is, you know, our smart bot resident. I always think of it as a robot. That's me. We call it Whoopi. And surprisingly, sometimes Whoopi is a real ringer when it comes to predictions. So it's fun. But, of course, that's rudimentary at best. So we'll see how that goes. But it's good fun. Let's jump right into it. I mean, as we record this, the news that's probably everyone's more than not reacting to is, of course, Sue Bird, who has made it at least social media official, tweeting out just about 3 hours ago as we record this episode from Sue's Twitter account, and I'm assuming other accounts, saying, quote, "I've decided this will be my final year. I've loved every single minute and still do. So I'm going to play my last year just like this little girl played her first. Hashtag the final year." She also tagged the Seattle Storm, shared a photo of last year's now famous, I think very memorable interview, post-game interview with Dana Taurasi and Holly Rowe after Seattle's bump from the playoffs. And then just another of those fantastic shots of her as a member of the Liberty Bells in her old school days, even pre-high school. So obviously, Logan, this is something that's been anticipated for quite some time. I mean, since that interview even, and just determining, you know, seeing Sue dropping in and how this, you know, the general discussion in Scuttlebutt, it felt like this was going to be the case, but we hadn't heard it in ink. And I guess we technically still haven't, because I guess it's not ink on Twitter, but we do have it in written word in one way or another. So I guess what's your immediate reaction now that we have it from Sue herself? What's happening? What this means? We can officially say we're on the retirement tour with Sue. We should still be with Sylvia Fowles, which really sucks. But now that we know this with Sue, what was your immediate reaction to seeing this?
Yeah, coming into this season, I think this wasn't necessarily a shock to anyone, but I still had kind of a reaction to it, which was, we kind of knew coming into this year, the Storm were going to try to run it back with their big three one more time. And then Sue was probably going to retire. Bree Stewart is on a 1-year contract. She's going to hit the open market. Jewel Lloyd might become the face of that team, or she might be on the move and a complete rebuild might be happening. And I didn't really let myself think about those things this year because I thought, like, well, it might be Sue's last year, but like, let's enjoy it. Now that it's official, not that you can enjoy it, especially if you're a Seattle fan, you should absolutely, this is the Seattle lifer. She's going to get a statue. They should name the place after her. She built the house. Like, There's nothing more that Sue Bird can do than she's already done in that building. But it is kind of time to start thinking about the future of that franchise. Because now that that's for sure, I'm sure they're going to at least make an offer for Bree Stewart. I don't think they're just going to let her walk out the door. But the fact is, like, they've got Jewel for one more year and kind of nothing else solidly in their plans in the future. And it does kind of feel like not the end of an era, because they've had a couple different eras in the last 20 years and they've had success in all of them. And they are one of those franchises that you just always expect to see competing even with different generations of players on the team, but they've just never had a team without Sue Bird. That's just what it comes down to. So the Sue Birdless future is going to be new ground for the Seattle Storm. And I think that's the mental shift from let's enjoy this last season to like, geez, what are the Storm even going to look like this time next year is kind of underway this week.
Yeah. And that's, my feelings are pretty likely. I mean, obviously where it stands for the storm, but there is definitely something to knowing this is finally happening, to seeing that decision made. I'll say this really quick on Sue's front. I love the simplicity of the announcement. This wasn't a Players Tribune article. This wasn't like a well thought out, heavily designed graphic, letter, or video. And maybe those will come. And I'm sure lots of other places will produce those as well, and they'll be fantastic. But it just felt like a very subverted way of doing things. Just saying, you know what? Here's a photo of me you're going to remember. Here's an awesome photo of me as a kid. And just letting you guys know that this is it. You know, it kind of reminded me of, I remember when Shaquille O'Neal announced his retirement, he did it on Tout, which doesn't even exist anymore. But he literally gets on this video app for like 10 seconds. It says, hey, I'm literally about to announce my retirement. Thanks. Boom. And like, that was the whole thing. And that's not a dog against anyone else who's done something on a higher scale, but it just felt on brand. And it was kind of a sweet moment to take that in. You know, there's a lot of people who talk about, you know, the difficulty here, especially where it depends on where Seattle sits in the playoff run. But now you're going to see the, you know, people saying like, oh, now we might have to deal with the frustration of the retirement circus and the tour, and everyone's got to have, you know, there's going to be the videos and the ceremonies and the gifts, and then there's this whole thing. And I know whenever there's a retiring player, that happens, and people tend to have issues with it. I can't wait for this one. Because Sue is very endemic to the Seattle Storm, but she has so much been probably, I mean, in terms of tenure, but has just been one of the most important faces of this league by far, and one of the most important influences in the world of women's sports for so long. So I hope everyone stops time to give her interesting stuff. I'm intrigued to see what that turns into. It's always fun with those tours, what cities, like, they always have to have like a weird gift or something. You know, I remember hearing of some players in their retirement years getting like rocking chairs from teams and stuff. So
yeah, I feel like that pans out, but Phoenix is going to have something up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Because they just have always had this very good spirited rivalry with mm-hmm. Seward and Seattle Storm.
There's, yeah. And I have really kind of two discussion thoughts as we lean into what's going to be the final run with Sue. Two questions that I have for you, and obviously if you want to add anything, go for it. I'll go to the first one, which is probably, well, this isn't even a question. This is more just a comment. I'm sure everyone did exactly what I did and had known since the start of the season when the schedule was announced, which is you immediately jump over to Seattle Storm schedule and look at final games. And of course, the way it's sitting right now, Sue's last game in Seattle is Sunday, August the 7th. Versus Vegas, but then Seattle would have three road games. And then of course Seattle very well could end up in the playoff race. So this could be moot anyway. I guess my question on your end, especially because the way this fits right now, the last home game is versus Vegas. The final home game exactly 7 days later is in Las Vegas. So it's the same opponent. If you are the Storm, are you finding a way to leverage switching that up, or are you thinking we're thinking this team falls in the top eight, so the last game will probably be in the playoffs anyway? Because it seems odd if you are trying to do a classic send-off night, even though there might be some playoffs, that you'll have this big emotional night and then here's three more games.
If I'm a fan, or if I'm Kathy Engelbert, or if I'm someone in the league office messing with schedules at the beginning of the season, 100% I'd do that. If I'm the Storm or I'm Sue Bird, I know that they're going to be professionals about it and be like, it's not about one player. And like, you know, I'm sure Sue wouldn't want things to be maneuvered around her retirement party because that's just the type of person she is. But the fact is, and I'm going to expand this to include a Sylvia Fowles mention here as well. We're excited about this rookie class and the next 2 years of rookie classes kind of like surging into the spotlight and taking the WNBA into kind of a future that is unknown right now in terms of talent. But that does mean we're losing some foundational pieces of the league. And that's not just like Hall of Famers and people who've won championships. I mean, foundational piece. Like, this is Bob Cousy, Jerry West, Wilt territory. Like, this is like the players that constructed the future of the WNBA and kept it afloat long enough for girls to see women be successful in professional basketball and to stay in sports when they're youths and to grow up and play in college. Like we're finally getting that influx of talent into the WNBA, yeah, like right now. And this, so like there will be great players in the future. There will be players who win lots of championships and redefine the game and bring new athleticism to the game. There will not be another Sue Bird, yeah, and there will not be another Sylvia Fowles.
Yeah. I mean, and we're, it's interesting to see two staples of two of the most successful franchises in league history, right? Two four-time champion teams that are losing large staples. And that's on top of the fact that Minnesota has done that with an onslaught of other great players. You know, they just had a chance to honor Simone and Rebecca Brunson. Technically, the Maya Moore scenario is still technically up in the air. You know, there may still be time yet to see her back on the court, but maybe not. And whatever that happens is okay. You know, it's her decision. But for this with Sylvia, that's very much a changing of the guard. So it's intriguing to me that like the penultimate games for Seattle, Minnesota are against each other, which is fun. In fact, Minnesota is in the same scenario they are. They have a game at Connecticut to end their year. Good reason to believe Minnesota is not going to be a playoff team. So if anyone has anything to say, maybe we should make that an at-home thing. As
no, no faith?
And how about a morsel of faith? Mustard seed-sized faith. You know, because weirder, you know, weirder shit's happened. I'll tell you that much. And you know, we all have our conspiracy theories about the links, especially given UConn's most popular current player and where they're from and when they'll be entering the draft and how that plays a role. But if at any point Cheryl Reeve just says, you know, screw it, let's actually win basketball games, I wouldn't be, you know, you can't count that out technically until it's mathematically impossible. But
obviously, obviously Minnesota wanted to have a good year for a Sylvia Fowles send off. But I think with her looking at kind of an indefinite knee cartilage injury, it becomes a lot more tempting to be like, I don't think this is like, what would they get out of salvaging this season? You know, I don't think we're going to turn this into a whole Minnesota episode, but the risk reward for Minnesota right now does not incentivize them to try to turn things around.
I would tend to agree there.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
My last related question in reacting to the Sue Bird news is very is different in its own sense. I don't know what's been happening behind the scenes with Seattle or if they have anyone who's been documenting up to this point in the season behind the scenes. With pro sports teams, that tends to happen anyway a lot of the time. There always seems to be some kind of film crew. My question, Logan, and I'm going to limit this to two players. I'm sure there are more options. Obviously, you know, 2 years ago, the big story was the whole Last Dance thing with Michael Jordan and his last Bulls season. It wasn't his last season. Funny how they just used that documentary to forget about the Wizards. But I've thought a lot about, and also with the recent release of the 30 for 30 Dream On covering the women's 96 Olympic team, which is fantastic. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, Logan, you should as soon as possible. It's wonderful. It's available up on ESPN Plus, I believe, at this point. Wonderful documentary. But I think there's two options right out the chute right now that you could say warrant the high potential of that type of a documentation of let's see someone in their last year and tell this story. And Sue's one, and the other one is her best friend in Phoenix. My question to you, Logan, is like, if with Sue making her announcement now, do you shotgun that film crew now, or do you think like is basically with Sue Bird making this announcement, is she the most deserving of that type of send off, or let's do the?
I think so. Word, I mean,
the last flight.
I know people really enjoyed Last Dance and that long form, really detailed documentary style. I mean, we love that here on this show. That's why Steve has dug into W history a couple different times. Some of our favorite now, forms of sports content are that.
If I could interrupt with a quick disclaimer, ironically, I'm one of those few hands that really didn't like The Last Dance, but it's because
I should mention that
there are two very separate types of documentaries that you could do there. One was to chronicle someone's career. One was to chronicle that season, and they tried to trick you into doing both. And I didn't love that. Like what they did with 144 is more endemic to what I think they could do, which is let's chronicle the story.
At some point we will discuss how, Hoop Dreams and Jordan Rides the Bus are both far superior to anything that The Last Dance did.
Yeah, if anyone to me talks about, oh, that great MJ documentary, it's Jordan Rides the Bus. Anyway, no, I think that's what I was asking is kind of like, I guess it almost just becomes another natural Sue versus Diana discussion, but.
Yeah, do I want a multi-episode breakdown of Sue's career? Sure. I think it would be cool. I think it's probably a better angle to show how Sue and Diana Taurasi's careers have kind of paralleled each other. Obviously they've met several times. They were teammates once. They've been teammates on Team USA since. I think that's a more interesting angle to take on it, is the fact that they are friends and have competed and been lifers on their respective teams for so long.
Yeah. I see where you're going with this. I almost wonder, with Diana, it's tough because for all we know, she's going to play 12 more years.
That's you can't send a film crew to Phoenix because it requires her to have a final season.
She literally has to book it. Yeah. If it's within the next two seasons, like if like next year we happen to hear an announcement that this will be her last year or maybe the year afterward. No, I'll see you on the day. If they're in close enough proximity, you could easily sort of make it this dual-ended story of both these players. And this very much cemented era of the game calling it. You know, I kind of wish in a way that after watching Dream On, that first real generation of WNBA players, you almost kind of wish you had something like that heavily chronicled it, where you got to really see especially with the Comets coming to a close, and then you look at obviously the Leslie Lobo era, you know, all of those players winding down. It's always, you can always kind of feel that there's that new gen rising up while these guys are closing the book. And that's how that's feeling amongst at least those two players. And I am sure a lot of WNBA fans have many a take on other players that would also be heavily deserving when Candace decides to call it, whenever that is. I'm sure that's going to come up.
I can already hear listeners
catching. I'll say first and foremost, Catchings should have definitely. That's the one name that I go like, if there's anyone who should have really had one, I wish Catch would have had that chance.
I think the more interesting angle isn't necessarily this is what she accomplished in her career in 20 years in Seattle, but more like she spent every minute that Seattle has existed as a franchise in that locker room and on that floor, and look at how the league has changed in those 20 years. I think that's a more interesting, like less individual player focused and more like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and tons of other legendary players have overseen kind of a seismic shift in the league since 2000. And that's what interests me as someone who kind of got into the league in like 2015, 2016 is, you know, these players who were kind of the old guard when we started really following it are now finally wrapping up careers. And we're looking back and seeing like, this goes way further back than, you know, our podcast experience. This is the whole league's history right now, kind of coming to a new chapter.
My other question, and this almost is a piece of evidence toward that endemic of her career paralleling this growth of the league and where it is now. Obviously, most all of the the greats who have come through the league have had the opportunity to enter the Hall of Fame, you know, the formal Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. There's many other basketball halls of fame as well that are very prestigious. That said, you know, I don't believe, and historic, someone can easily correct me on this, I don't believe we've been able to be in a position where a women's player or WNBA player who enters the hall has been able to kind of be the almost the keynote inductee, if that makes sense. You know, yeah, every year there's like kind of the mainstay inductee, and there's always been one to two women's inductees who are heavily deserving. Just looking at the lay of things, first of all, the discussion of is Sue a first ballot Hall of Famer is silly because that's not even a question. But could Sue's Hall of Fame induction, and Sill very much will probably be a part of that as well. I think there's heavy potential to have those both names. But is Sue in the high potential to be that like first time
we're going to see women's player? I never really thought about that.
The mainstay name. And it's not to say that keynote or that main player is more of the Hall of Famer than the others.
No.
It's just that tends to naturally happen when you find out who's entering any Hall of Fame. Like there's kind of always one to two.
We did
sometimes
that.
There's a couple faces, but often there's usually one. And, you know, there was that run where like Jordan and John Stockton went in at the same time. And then like, I think it was
like Kobe year, like the Kobe and Kevin Garnett and now I'm missing the third player.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Like and Tamika to catching.
Yeah, if any one of those players was in a different year, they kind of define the class, but it was kind of the Kobe year because it was Kobe.
Yeah. And so it's kind of, there's a lot of circumstances that make those decisions, but I go at, maybe I'm thinking about, you know, it's very much going to be tied with who in other elements of basketball, because it's not just the two main sports leagues, you know, it's across all different levels of basketball. So, you know, who else would be putting a close on their career that might stand out? So when I look at it that way, I think that makes a lot of sense. And then honestly, I think that could be the set off of a handful of years where that starts to happen. And maybe there's a couple previous to that in the next couple of years that might happen that I haven't thought about, but I, you know, that's actually been an intriguing case to me of that in itself could end up being a really strong additional, like new plateau growth point for the league is that little tiny extra of pedestal that we're going to be able to put some women's players on and being able to
say. I was just thinking, Even people who kind of ignore women's basketball, ignore like I'm not talking about like the trolls that actively go out of their way to be ignorant, but like just people who may not pay attention to it. I think if you see Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi getting into the Hall of Fame and in their credentials seeing like five Olympic gold medals, no matter how much you know about their careers, you start doing the math and you're like, five gold medals? Like four championships, however many all-star appearances, five gold medals. Like you start realizing like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the accolades, it's interesting because Sue's career compared to some others, if you're doing that, I know we just did that big goat thing last season. Where weirdly Sue's is lacking is like individual awards, which is random.
She always
being the all-time leader in assists, that's almost not shocking. Because I think that's
She suffered from being a point guard on a team with a forward that won MVP like a bunch of times. So
and it's one of those class cases of she knows how to make great players best players in the league. She did the Lauren Jackson. She's a big part of that with Stewie, who are both all-timers in their own right, but being able to be paired with a legend like Sue very much makes that happen. You've already called out some accolades. But is there a Seattle for the Seattle area? Is there a Seattle based Sue Bird accolade or award or like honorization? That's too much. I mean, at this point, you're going Jersey, you're going statue. You got like, name a street, name a court.
I would say almost no one has to get a statue, but in Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr. and Sue Bird, like those are your, I wouldn't even count Russell Wilson in that category necessarily. And he's brought this city its only Super Bowl. Like, mm-hmm. that, those are your representatives.
Yes. I mean, those, sorry.
And Gary, you know, maybe Gary Payton. I would maybe
your,
Gary Payton.
Your point, sorry, real quick, your point on Russell Wilson's really good. It's just funny the way that you said that. And like Nick Foles has a statue in Philadelphia.
Good. But,
yeah. No, and it's good. It's just funny how like context plays a role with all those things.
Yeah.
But like,
no, but
you know, like Seattle could do like a Legion of Boomy-esque thing, but like at the same time, if you're going to go like the defining of Seattle sports, if you were to pick two, Sue and Griffey are kind of like, I like your call out on Gary Payton. I think that's close, but those are very strong names to yeah, stand
Sue,
with.
The thing about Sue is, and this isn't necessarily a requirement to be a great player or to get to the Hall of Fame or anything like that, but it is a requirement to be kind of a legend in the city that you play for a long, long time. It's that she fully embraced everything about Seattle. You see her raising the 12th man flag at football games in her denim jacket, and you see her walking around Pike's Place, and you, like, she's present in the city. It's not, she's never been someone who's played in Seattle, but has sought out the, like, the Hollywood movie lifestyle. Like, she's in yeah. the city. She's around, like, Sounders game. Like, she loves it there. And I think as a fan of a team like that, like, mm-hmm. that sort of endears you to a player more than anything else. Is like, hey, like she's an elite level athlete. We have very little in common, but something we do have in common is we care about Seattle. Like,
yeah,
I think that matters because you don't find that with a lot of athletes, and it's not a requirement, but it's one of those extras that makes you kind of fall in love with a player. It's that all of my favorite athletes in across every sport have been athletes that meant a lot to the city as well as the team.
Yep, exactly. And I think it's, she's become so endemic to the Seattle area. One, I have heard people or seen people on Twitter even like mention like she gets like the hometown girl response as if people think she's born and raised in the city. She's that much endemic. Like, she's very much become, in her sense of style, in her sense of attitude, in how she carries herself, she has that, I'd almost call it Rocky Balboa-esque relationship with Seattle. Like, Sylvester Stallone's told stories where, like, I could walk, he's like, I walk around Philadelphia now, and people literally talk to me like people in the movie talk to Rocky. Like, walk up to me like, hey, Rock, hey, we want to come over here. Like, and it's like, she's got that kind of thing where everyone will talk to her as if they know her, if she's in that area. And also, to that level, she's so endemic to Seattle now and to that area, 99 out of 100 people could not tell you where she's from. She's so a part of that, that like,
yeah,
you know, whenever a player is in a free agency trade, whatever, like those types of discussions, or like if it's, oh, where should she end her career? You always have that hometown discussion. And I don't think anyone would be able to say like, oh, well, where would that be? Because like, where's she from? And usually nowadays where everyone seems to have a little handle on where every player's from because that narrative always pops its way up. That's always intriguing to me. And so that's why like the statue level, that extra level, always to me, it has to kind of go a step beyond just they were a great player who did a lot of great things. It's also more putting up something like that is saying like this is a monument to the city. So it's very yeah. much a part of that, right. For instance, is
you
why
think it means like you're not just a representative of the franchise,
yeah.
but you are like, I don't know, maybe this is getting overly romantic about it, but like when you walk by a statue and a kid is like, who is this? It's like, let me tell you the story of Super. Like it's,
yeah.
it's not just, oh, she won a bunch of championships, so they had to put up a statue.
Yeah, like, it's the fact that when you walk in through the South Carolina campus, you walk by Asia Wilson. And it's more than just Asia Wilson was a great player. Like, she is a legendary icon for the University of South Carolina. She is as much a part of the legacy of that entire university as she is the basketball team. And that's kind of, when you talk Seattle greatness, that's the standing of it. So that, to me, stands out immediately. I think there are a handful. And I'm a fan of LA teams. And if you ever walk around Staples Center, and yeah, I still call it Staples Center, far too many statues in that arena. There's just way, like, there's just too many of an abundance. They needed to just do like a classic like Walk of Fame type of thing, but there's just, it feels like way too many people are getting statues. And in an area like Seattle, especially where they have that new area. Now, I love it outside of their new arena, but even if you do it, and I'm trying to remember proximity wise, like it's just, I think it makes sense. But for her, it's kind of like name the street after her, name that, like, there's almost nothing that feels like it would be beyond approach.
I don't know what the equivalent is of raising the flag at a basketball game. But Seattle will get the Sonics back in the next 5 years. And I would bet anything she will be involved in the festivities of that first home game. Because It's like, basketball's been in Seattle. And we're excited to get the Sonics back, but like...
I'll put it this way.
The storm this whole time.
If the city of Seattle ever won a bid for the Olympics, is there a question who else lights the cauldron, like the end of the torch relay? Is there a question? Five-time gold medalist. Now, there may be a big-time Olympian who's won a million medals in a different sport that I don't realize is from Seattle. I was going to say Michael Phelps, but he's from the Boston area. But, like, it's that idea of it's not even a question. We surprisingly went longer on Sue discussion than I even anticipated we would. We had other stuff we could have hit. This is going to be fun. I'm not going to lie. When it's said and done, there will probably be tears. Sue is a very endemic part of our journey of this podcast.
Yes.
When we started our whole journey, because a part of it was getting to go watch her play. And that will forever... I don't know. It'll forever be warm in my mind.
Anytime we say on this podcast, like, we need to give so-and-so their flowers, I think about the time we actually literally gave Sue Bird her flowers.
Yeah. Which, if we make it to the end of the season game this year, which we've talked about, we're not going to do that again because that was almost embarrassing. But in its own way, this is just, I think everyone... That's the type of individual that everyone can speak to the impact that she's had. So it's weirdly relieving to see that that news is official and we're kind of able to reason with that and sense someone off the way that they should, which is why on top of that, I really hope that we're able to get at least an amount of games left out of Celia Fowles toward the end of the season, even if they're low minutes, just so we get a chance to give her the send off she deserves as well. We're very much in a transition turning point for the league's history where we're going to start to see a lot of these doors close and a lot of new doors open. And, you know, people deserve their flowers, as you said. So that will come as it comes. I mean, that's really the mainstay thing. I talked a little bit about the documentary, but if you haven't had a chance to check out Dream On, please do. Fantastic stuff. Anything else, quick hits you wanted to jump on, Logan, before we call today?
No, we've got a big weekend coming up. So if you haven't been keeping up with the standings and the goings on, keep an eye on the Sunday slate. There's going to be games all day. The W finally gave us a day of like five or six games where they will stagger the start time. So anytime you jump online on some channel, there's going to be WNBA action going on. We will obviously be coming back with more episodes next week to recap all of that action and more. There's some interesting stuff. We're in the heart of the season right now. There's, you know, the standings are kind of solidifying into different tiers, but there's still a lot of vying for playoff positioning and teams cooling and teams heating up. And I'm very interested in all that.
Yes.
So we will be touching on more team specific stuff in the future. If you're worried because you're a Liberty fan or you're a Sun fan and you're like, talk about how my team is doing things. Like we will get there. We will get there. Mystics fans, I hear you.
I spent a very large amount of time on my last stream specifically talking about the Liberty. You brought up the Mystics. I may want to dedicate an hour soon just to what Shakir Austin's been doing. there's a lot to be excited about, the mix of things. I mean, right now you kind of feel like you have what looks to be a top tier of two teams, but it's almost becoming one team. And then Chicago really wants to enter that discussion. And then And it, like, you look at the trends between the Liberty and the Sparks and the Mercury, and it's just like there's this high level soap opera drama from the 7 to 10 spots right now.
It's exactly what I want every year, which is some great teams and some good teams and some teams that are overperforming and some teams that are underperforming. It's perfect.
It sets up for a lot of great stories, and it's going to set up for what I anticipate to be a very wild off season, which is what we're on the Hewn toward. But yeah, I mean, that's really the lay of things. We might be putting together a stream in the next couple weeks, potentially do some quick updates for the NWSL. We'll see how that goes. If not a stream, maybe a quick episode. We might even just get some quick updates from Mike, because there have been some interesting updates. Tobin Heath just had her rights traded over to OL Reign, and it's looking like that may potentially actually happen. We may see her back on NWSL soil. Of course, Kristen Press out with an injury for the rest of the year, which really stinks for Angel City. So lots of developments as far as that's headed. So the world of women's sports is very much alive and well with big time news. We'll have a lot to cover as this continues on. And of course, we're hitting the midpoint of the season. We're still, am I going to lie when I say we're still in all-star voting range, or is voting ended? I believe we're still voting for all-stars, which you can still do. But we'll be coming to those announcements soon. All-star weekend till June 20th. So you have time. If you haven't put in your vote, you have 4 days as we record this. So lots to be excited about. But until all of that, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of WNBA Nation. I'm Steve Schwartzman.
I'm Logan Jones.
We got you next time.